afternoon. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I have my shadow over here, Taylor.
Your shadow.
My shadow.
Your shadow.
I was your shadow the other day.
Yeah, you were.
Goodness gracious. Last Saturday was National Trails Day. So we went trailing. I trailed Taylor up the mountain and down the mountain. You hike with a purpose.
I do. Even up and down stairs that go to nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, one of our favorite family places to go is De Ponce de Forest. It's just, it's nice, it's close, you can get to where you need to go fairly quickly. You pass some neat scenery along the way. And so we went up there last Saturday for National Trails Day, and I got smoked.
Yeah, you did.
I kid you not.
You need to get in shape, Dad. Come on.
I do need to get in shape. That's for sure and for certain.
I kept telling him, mindset of Alaska, mindset of Alaska.
In Alaska, I was worried about bears taking up, getting the last person in line. but anyway, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'm glad you joined in. It looks like Greenville is fixing to get pounded with a rainstorm. I heard some thunder and lightning here before we closed up the button up the studio doors to do the show. And if you're in Greenville and you're close to Cabela's,
stop in and see Davey Height.
That's right. Davey Height's there till 4 o'clock. Right, Davey? Right, Taylor?
Yep.
4 o'clock. And he's got a table set up, I'll be honest with you. He's got a table set up. The kids' fishing pond had him way outnumbered as far as people.
Yep.
But he said, I've got this table, but I'm just going to go kind of mingle. So if you're in Cabela's and you're just want to meander through the fishing department, you might turn the corner and run into Davey Height.
Yep. Go by and talk to him. He'll talk forever about fishing.
Oh, he will. He will. He does enjoy it, and that's good. Seeing as he makes his life talking about fishing. That's a good thing. Okay, real quick, we're going to talk to B.B. Dalton Harrison at the bottom of the hour, after the bottom hour break, about she's a busy lady, but she's got Angling Women, which holds classes on saltwater fishing. And then she's going to tell us about Old Bridge Outfitters, which makes some cool little tackle box sand spikes for fishermen. And then there's a new app, the My Fish Count app, that's out there. And what it is it's trying to gain more data. The people that set the regulations, seasons, and all that, they can only go based on data. So the more data we give them, hopefully the better they will be able to manage. So we're going to talk about that with her, and we've got a calendar of events. Whoa, hello.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a generator, folks. Don't worry. If anything happens, it might be a slight blip, and then, boom, we'll be back up. Oh, and by the way, peach milkshakes are back at Chick-fil-A. The official, unofficial drink, summer drink of Woods and Water, South Carolina, is the peach milkshake. Oh, and they're so good. Oh, man, they're good. That's the first sip I had of mine. It's very good. You'll probably see me take a lot of that, especially when you're talking today, because you're going to bring us some information, too.
I am.
Got some good stuff. Got some exciting stuff coming up in July for you.
Some very exciting stuff.
Go ahead.
Well.
Where are you going?
I'm going to ICAST.
ICAST for the first time ever? She was there last year. She was 12 feet tall and 10 feet wide on the back wall of the Shimano display.
I was there. I was there.
In print. You were in print and video because your
print.
Video
was.
Your video was out there too. So, but yeah, going to ICAST. It's going to be fun. What are you looking forward to most?
Oh boy. Where do I start? Seeing everybody there and just being there. Like just being involved in everything. Being at the Shimano booth, the AFCO booth, the Stanley Jigs booth. They're like going around seeing Anthony Gagliardi and Casey, and just it's gonna be fun.
Oh, you get to go to the happy hour party at the Costa booth and hear Casey play his guitar.
Oh, I do.
You
I
do.
Watched that on live
That's
Instagram
right.
last year.
That's he can sing and he can play.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing you're not looking forward to from iCast?
I'm not looking forward to?
Yeah, anything?
Being in Orlando.
Being in Orlando in July. Oh, boy. Yeah. There are some good things about Florida and some bad things. And most of the bad things are in the summertime.
But good thing?
Yes.
Sushi.
Sushi, yes. We have an appointment to go to, oh, I can't remember the place. This is St. Cloud. I ate there with Greg Hackney and Jacob Rosnick and Anthony Gagliardi back in January when we were down there for the Florida stop on MLF. And they had a king of the sea roll. Yeah. Sushi. What's mom going to do for dinner that night?
Chick-fil-A.
We'll send her Chick-fil-A. Hey, well, she can go get
peach milkshake.
A peach milkshake. Oh, me. But anyway, we've got some. Taylor's going to give us an update on where all the guys stand on the three fishing tours as of the last stop. And BB's going to call in. If you're interested in doing the alligator lottery, I think that is up on the 10th. I looked for that all over the website. I could not find the date. But anyway, if you're interested in putting in for the South Carolina Alligator Lottery, you need to do it like today, tomorrow. I think Monday's the deadline. I've already put in for mine. I'm not hopeful that I'm going to get it drawn. Last time it took me 3 years, and that was 5 years ago. So I'm sure it's a few more years now. And that's the problem with a lot of people are seeing with lottery hunts, especially out west for like elk and mule deer and some of these restricted zones. I mean, you're getting 20, 22 preference points. And I know a lot of people are dumping them. They're just dumping them. There's no hope that they're going to get drawn because the points keep increasing every year. You're no closer than the first year you started applying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem. And there's some rumblings about how they're going to handle the lottery process out west going forward. Some of these states where people are dumping points because they can't get drawn. And the hunts are expensive, too. An elk hunt that my cousin's husband went on last year went up $1,700 in 1 year because of the quality of elk they killed last year. So, that's expensive.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But yeah, the alligator lottery, if you want to get in on it, is a... And I'm going to... Sounds like I'm in a barrel.
Uh-huh.
That's what my brother just texted me. Sound like I'm in a barrel. I am in a barrel. Said you sounded fine.
Oh, well.
Imagine that. Oh, well. It is what it is. I don't know that I can do anything different on this end to make it sound any better. Angelo, did I sound okay in there? Okay. Okay, Paul. It's you. It's not me.
Oh. What? We have a special guest on here.
We have somebody that just joined. Who is congratulations? Go ahead.
Congratulations on getting engaged, Patrick Walters.
Patrick Walters and Emily Watkins, they got engaged today or yesterday. I'm
today.
Not exactly sure. Today. Today?
No, yesterday.
Well, she posted the picture today.
Well, so did he. I don't
okay.
know. I don't know.
Patrick, text us or comment below.
When did you actually get engaged?
Yesterday or today? But congratulations to those. I posted up that whole thing, and I said, you know, that's 3 to 4, because you've got Brandon and Amy got married,
mm-hmm.
and then Casey and Kenzie are getting married,
mm-hmm.
and now Patrick and Emily.
Look at that.
And there's a fourth. There's somebody else that I'm waiting. I may say at the end of the show who the fourth one is, but anyway, congratulations, Patrick. We're looking forward to seeing you and Emily tie the knot. Oh.
What's the hashtag? Hooked on Walters?
Yeah, Hooked on Walters.
Yeah.
Pretty good hashtag.
Very good hashtag.
Very good hashtag. So anyway, I know we just wasted 10 minutes, but it's my show. I can waste 10 minutes if I want to, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right,
right. We're going to come back and get into some serious outdoor stuff. So hang on through the break. Back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Mark, it's always cool when people chime in on Facebook Live, and yeah, Mark and I have known each other a long time. We're both old men. And congratulations on your daughter graduating high school the other day. Or was that college? Uh-oh. Can't remember. Oh, well. Congratulations one way or the other. Hey, you got a brother now.
It's not Gov. This has been a good day.
It was a banner weekend, a Memorial Day weekend when Jordan got married to Daniel Paris, and now I have a boy around the house, which means I'm still at a disadvantage. 3-2 if it's just strictly women versus men. 4-2 if you throw the dog in. You know, I'm hoping one of these days to at least be a break even. And then if we can get one of you not to show up and vote, we can win. I haven't won since 1992, folks. So just so you know, I have a long losing streak.
Let's keep it that way, shall we?
Yeah, we just probably will. Anyway, well, everybody knows we got 3 professional fishing tours going on. And my co-host over here is going to give us an update on where everybody stands.
I like that. Co-host.
Co-host.
Let's keep it that way. I like it. Okay, so we're going to start out with MLF. So we're going to go over some South Carolina guys, and then I think we got a few North Carolina guys mixed
in. Not on MLF.
Well, not on MLF, yeah, but through. On some we're, of the others. We're going to cover MLF, Bassmaster, and FLW. Yeah. So first on the MLF side, we've got Annie Montgomery, who's sitting in 15th, Casey Ashley, 23rd, and Anthony Gagliardi, 40th. First and 47th is Marty Robinson.
And there's one more.
And then
there's one more. Yeah. Come on. Last page.
Oh, there's another page.
Yeah.
Brett Myers, who is in 78th. And their next tournament is going to be Lake Winnebago.
Okay, that's right.
Cool. And that would be June 25th through the 30th.
And they're the top 30 fish the Red Crest. So, you know, I think Andy told me when I talked to him the other day, he didn't have to catch a fish on the next tournament. Casey probably didn't have to catch many. Anthony's got, I think, 41 to, he's got to make up 11 spots, which means he probably has to win the next one, which is smallmouth.
He can do it.
That's right. He's a better fisherman than he gives himself credit for.
Definitely.
All right.
He doesn't give himself any credit.
He's hard on himself. A lot of these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are very hard on themselves. You and I, we go fishing, it's just fun, but for them, it's
life.
It is life. That's exactly right.
Well, over on the Bassmaster side, we have Patrick Walters in first.
First place, Patrick.
Yeah.
He's also leading Rookie of the Year, too.
Mm-hmm. And then seventh, Brandon Cobb, the COBB. And then we have got a special person from North Carolina thrown in here, Matt Airy.
Yeah, somebody, Matt Airy.
Heard.
We'll claim him as a ceremonial South Carolinian.
And then in 28th, we got Todd Auten. And then 36th is Jason Williamson.
All the guys from South Carolina on the Bassmaster side are doing really well this year. Really well.
And then on the FLW side, we threw in another North Carolina person.
That's right.
Brian Thrift, who is in 7th. 12th, Brian Latimer. 13th, Bradford Beavers.
Bradford Beavers, yeah.
What a last name. I love that last name.
And then there's a whole list of guys down. I mean, there's who is, that's Missouri, not South Carolina. Sorry. There's so many, and there's 180 on there, so it's kind of hard to get out of the list. But
those are our South Carolina boys.
Now, MLF and FLW and Bass are all headed north.
Mm-hmm.
And Davey Height was saying something new at Cabela's today about those northern lakes.
Yeah. Smallmouth. And so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. He's looking forward to it.
We'll have to see,
And those are usually, if I can remember right, the smallmouth fisheries, it's usually ounces. Mm-hmm. Because they get into so many that are the same size that you're culling for a couple of ounces. They're usually, quote-unquote, slugfest, and they're pretty good weights every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That'll be interesting, though.
It'll be fun.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Those weekends when they're all three of them are fishing at the same time, I got a laptop and 2 computers going with.
That is not looking good outside.
What? Oh, it'll be all right. Quit looking outside. Concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
We have a radio show today.
I know.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update.
Yeah.
Who do you think Patrick's going to hold on to?
Oh,
the
I think so.
You think so?
I do. He's got all of us on his side.
Oh, gosh.
At least I'm speaking for myself. I don't know where you are, but...
I like Patrick. I wouldn't mind him winning. It would be really cool if Patrick held on and won both Angler of the Year and Rookie of the Year.
That'd be impressive. He can do it.
He's got the drive to do it. That's exactly right.
Can do it.
Got a little bit of fill in here. Notice to beachgoers. As all you people headed to the beach, I know some of my friends are down there. Your aunt and uncle are down there. A small number of Portuguese men of war have recently reported on South Carolina beaches. Now, these are the nasty ones. These are the ones that really sting. You should steer clear of these highly venomous relatives of jellyfish, both in the water and ashore, as even a dead man of war has a sting strong enough to sometimes require medical attention. Fortunately, the bright blue float of a man of war makes them easy to recognize and avoid. Typically a resident of the open ocean, these fascinating animals, which are not actually one creature but four types living together in a colony, are occasionally pushed ashore by strong winds. They've recently washed on the beaches from Florida to North Carolina. Now, if you're wondering what that blue float, they actually have almost like a fin that sticks up out of the water, and they're easily spotted on top, but they do hurt. I've never been stung by one, but I have talked to people who have, and it's not fun. Hey, you see that? We had some the other day, didn't we?
It's a little to replace going shrimping. I haven't done that since I was 7, and I need to do it again.
That's too much work.
Well, for you, because you took a swim, Dad.
And that's recreational. This is commercial. So for those of you who like fresh South Carolina shrimp, shrimp season opened May 29th at 8 o'clock in the morning with an encouraging forecast. Barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, or saute it, however you cook it. Fresh South Carolina white shrimp are back on the menu. That's differentiate. The white shrimp come in the spring and summer, and a brown shrimp come in the fall and the winter. Commercial season opened at 8 o'clock in South Carolina. Georgia State waters open at the same time. Hopes of the 2019 and unusually cold period kill the vast majority of the white shrimp. Overwintering in South Carolina waters delaying the 2018 opening until mid-June. Fortunately, according to DNR biologists, white shrimp numbers have appeared to return to at least the 10-year average, hopefully heralding a better season for the state's commercial fishery. The lack of any commercial shrimp landings from our waters at the beginning of the 2018 season resulted in economic loss to allow the state to apply for a declaration of a failed fishery from the U.S. Secretary of Commerce. So, they're here. Let's see. South Carolina commercial shrimp county has historically had three peak periods. In the spring, shrimpers typically capitalize on the influx of roe white shrimp, large early season shrimp that generally fetch higher prices and generate the most value for the fishing effort. The summer months are defined by peak and brown shrimp. We'll get that. I thought that was the fall, which are similar to white shrimp in size and taste. In the fall and into winter, shrimpers bring in a second crop of white shrimp, the offspring of the spring roe shrimp. Because white shrimp are a short-lived species that are vulnerable to cold water, their numbers can fluctuate dramatically from year to year. However, they're prolific spawners, which means the population can quickly rebound even after a poor year or season, which is what we're seeing in South Carolina. So that's good. And look, people, when I like to go buy them, sorry, I did my share of bait shrimping in the day.
Kind of ruined you when you fell overboard.
No, I don't mind stuff like that.
Okay.
But the work is what I get away from. It's a lot of work.
Shame
to go
on you.
Anyway. When you go and you get shrimp, if you go to McClellanville, which you can go to McClellanville, and I say this every year, you can go buy 50 pounds of head-on shrimp for about $3.50, $3.75, $4 a pound. You have to buy 50 pounds at a time, and I usually go buy 50, find people that want 5, 10, 15 pounds.
Split it up,
and I usually end up with about 20 pounds, and you freeze them. I use Tupperware and bottled water. You put, 20 shrimp when you get the big ones, the 12, 15s and all. You put those in a Tupperware container. You fill it up with water enough to where you push the lid on. Water spills out the side. You get a good seal. It's a frozen shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes, look, this is straight out of the mouth of both Scott Laseth and the gentleman that owns Carolina Seafood. I cannot for the life of me remember his name. But I interviewed him back in 2014, and he told me a once frozen shrimp is just as good as one fresh out of the water.
It's true. You can taste it.
So they're good. So that's... killed off some sea trout, and they started the release over 18 program, the spotted sea trout operation, release over 18, which means, you know, if you catch a spotted sea trout over 18 inches, let it go. And here's why. When you get a female at 11 inches, they release 175,000 eggs per spawn, or 3.2 billion eggs. 15 inches, it's about 400,000 eggs per inches. And that's a good spotted sea trout. 530,000 eggs per spawn, 17.5 million annual egg production. So while we're trying to recover our spotted sea trout fishery a little bit here in South Carolina, remember that when you're trout fishing. You know, if you want to keep a few of the smaller ones, and let those big girls go back and breed some more, because they're the ones that keep that population rolling. And with that, what do I have here? I don't want to do that. We got less than, 42 seconds left. So we're just going to call this. Coming back from the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Bebe Dalton Harrison about a few things she's got going on, the My Fish Count app, and then we're going to wrap it up. We got a pretty good calendar of events and some other news stories we'll get to if we have time. Yeah. You don't know that date.
No, I don't.
All right. Hang on through the break. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Boy, that was interesting. Didn't we say something about the power going out and that we had a generator?
I think we did.
we are currently on generator power because the power went out.
Well, hey, we have a generator.
So we're good.
We are good.
It has kicked us off Facebook Live, and I don't know why. I can't get it hooked back up. So if you're listening, I'm sorry. We'll pick it up next time around. With the more Facebook Live, I might set it up for the last 15 minutes. Might not. Might just do this one blind.
Blind?
That's why we're on radio.
Okay.
We can do that. Look, we said we were going to talk to her, and I'm amazed she's obviously not busy today because we're joined by Bebe Dalton Harrison. Bebe, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Well, hello.
Yes.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, ma'am. We are, too. We're glad we have a generator.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What is the weather like in Charleston right now?
It is actually a little tiny bit overcast, but really beautiful.
Okay. And
it's the end of National Fishing and Boating Week.
That's right, so it is.
I hope everybody's been fishing and boating this week.
We did, didn't we? Taylor, we went trout fishing Saturday. Does that count?
We did, and I went to the lake.
That counts. And then Taylor went boating on the lake. So, yes, we hit both of it, fishing and boating.
Proud of us, Dad.
Well, you are one to talk about boating and fishing because that's pretty much your life, isn't it? I mean, you were a Department of Natural Resources marine person and all, and take a minute just to introduce yourself to our audience.
Marine and freshwater, actually.
Yes.
So I grew up here in Mount Pleasant, and I don't remember, but taking naps on the bow of the boat when I was a tiny baby. Right out in the Charleston Harbor.
Sure.
So I've been on the water my whole life, just like Taylor.
Practically.
So I started at the Marine Center doing marine education.
Okay.
For DNR. And then when they decided that they needed a freshwater program, they stole me and moved me to Columbia, and I helped create the first aquatic education program for the state of South Carolina.
Wow.
So that was awesome.
Which has ballooned.
It has. They have changed a lot, man, since that time and have expanded. And they're doing great things with the bass fishing clubs, the high school bass fishing clubs, the family fishing program. So, yeah, I just got certified by DNR as a family fishing clinic instructor. So just led my first one of those. Yeah, it was great.
Well, speaking of that, though, but you have Angling Women. Now, tell us what Angling Women is.
Yes, so Angling Women is really for anyone. It's just run by women.
Right.
And it's an aquatic...
Let me interrupt you, BB, because that's a good thing. Guys teaching people the rudimentary skills of fishing is not a good thing. We're just not patient enough. So that's where I have to hand it to you, because y'all are much more patient than we are.
Well, it's not even that, really. It's really difficult for folks sometimes to learn from somebody close to them. So if you guys can teach somebody that maybe isn't close to them personally,
okay,
like a stranger or something. I mean, like at our events, our Becoming an Outdoors Woman events that we used to have for DNR,
right.
We would have very patient gentlemen that would help teach. But when you're trying to teach your significant other or your child, sometimes they're like, I know, Dad, or whatever, So it does, there are some pretty patient dudes, too. But
okay. All right. Well, back to you, women.
But, yeah, so we're laid back and low-key, and basically our mission is to teach folks the basics of fishing, how to get started. We want to be able to teach you how to rig your rod, how to tie the knots. I always tell people that the hardest thing is getting that knot down.
Sure.
We try to teach two, and usually people lean one way or the other, Palomar or Clint, improved clinch knot. So those are the real basics. But we want my mission, my goal is for the person that leaves my class to be able to show their next door neighbor or show someone else. I want them to be confident enough that they can rig their own rod and they can teach somebody how to do it.
Gotcha.
So it's enough to get them started and get them out there and enjoying the outdoors.
And you do it in a really cool environment too, because you do on the saltwater side.
I do. I do both. So I do travel some. I've done a lot in the Columbia area.
Okay.
I've been doing some here recently in Somerville. And then I do a lot of stuff along the coast in Charleston. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff I see, you're out on the old Burn Bridge and fishing the tidal.
Exactly.
And the piers and all.
Area.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Fishing pier under the bridge, under the big bridge, Ravenel.
Right.
And then the old bridge.
Yes,
well,
the old bridge.
A lot of people call it the Pitt Street Bridge,
yes.
But I call it the old bridge. That's what I grew up calling it. It's near and dear to my heart.
Yes, it is. Because another one of your ventures is Old Bridge Outfitters.
Old Bridge Outfitters. So in the 20-plus years I've been teaching and doing instruction with families in particular, kids and families, I've come across a few needs.
Yes.
And so I created some products to meet those needs. And most everything has a little story behind it, but just all of the products were developed with that education background in mind.
Okay.
So.
What are some of those products?
So one of them is a tackle purse. And that one is specifically for the ladies. We do have a camo bag, so it could be used by the gentlemen. But but it's designed to strap down to the deck of your kayak. You can carry it on the boat. You can carry it on a dock. It's got clips on it so that you can wrap it around a dock and it velcros all shut. So if somebody kicks it off or it won't come off the boat. Everything won't fall out.
Okay.
But the straps on the bottom are designed so that you can strap it down to the deck of your kayak. It has a flap that folds down so you can rig over that. If you drop something on a plastic or a Kevlar boat, it's going to roll right into the water. So it's designed with that little platform so that you can rig over it.
Okay.
But yeah, I can go. So my sister would put her boat on the top of the car, and she'd put on her bathing suit and put her sundress on it and drive to church for early service. But if the water was real flat, she'd throw the boat in and go fishing for a little bit and then come back and put the boat back on and then go to late service.
Oh, gosh.
You need a purse that can go both places.
Both places.
Amen.
Amen. You have, my daughter Taylor is with me. That's where the amens are coming from.
Right. Exactly. And she'll appreciate this one, too. I have a hook keeper charm. And a lot of folks, I needed something to identify my rods, because when we would come back in from the boat, we would hose everything off, clean the boat, get all the salt off, and we would put the rod, we would clean all the rods together, and my dad would put them in the garage. And I said, that's my rod, Dad. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I think I have one that looks like that. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that's mine. So I needed, basically, it's kind of like a wine charm, so I can identify my rod. That is my rod.
I need to start doing that with my buff, Dad. You keep taking my buffs.
No, I don't take your buffs.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I bought them.
Well, no, you cannot do that.
So all of them, just consider when you look at when you check out all my stuff, it's based on needs.
Okay. Well, angling women, and how do people, if somebody's coming to Charleston or mm-hmm. wants you to come to Columbia, how do they get a hold of you to teach a class for them?
They can visit anglingwomen.com.
Okay.
And you can email me directly from there, or check out our Facebook page or our Instagram.
And then Old Bridge Outfitters.
Also the same. We have, again, oldbridgeoutfitters.com.
Okay.
Facebook page and an Instagram. You can get me any of those ways.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. So I definitely have got it in my blood.
And yes. You're old school Charleston.
That's right.
That's right. I know when my parents lived in Charleston for a couple of years, they lived up behind what is now the Farmer's Market on Atlantic Avenue.
I'm less than a mile away, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that is old school Mount Pleasant for sure.
Exactly. they probably went down the old bridge and fished.
Oh no, my mom and dad are not fishermen.
They could have.
Dad's not a fisherman, and mom likes to fish for squirrels.
Oh, gotcha.
You got that?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Well, look, can you hang on for a couple minutes? I got to take a break.
Sure.
And so I think what we'll do is we'll go to the break now, come back, and we'll actually talk about what we've called you about to begin with after the break. So give me a couple minutes. We'll be back with more from B.B. Dalton Hamilton and Harrison and Woods and Water, South Carolina, on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are, I guess maybe we're back on regular power now. I don't know. Nope. Still on generator power. That's a good thing. I knew all that money I've paid all these years has gone to a good cause. Glad to hear that. But we are back with BB. Thanks for being on the show again today. And, you know, normally SAFMC is not something most offshore guys like to talk about.
So you hear.
But now we did talk. There have been some rule changes on the way they accumulate data and manage the fisheries and all. And what you're doing with them for the next year is a perfect example of that. Am I not right?
That's exactly right.
So tell us what the SAFMC has done and what you're helping them do over the next 365 days.
Okay. So for those of you that don't know, because, oh, my gosh, there are so many acronyms right now that I'm trying to learn. South Atlantic Fishery Management Council is who I'll be working with on an app that is a pilot project called My Fish Count.
Okay.
And I like to get everybody to say, well, my fish count, and so do yours. So yeah. That's what I'm after. So we're trying to get recreational anglers to report their catch through the My Fish Count website or the smartphone app.
Okay.
So a lot of the anglers that were in the region, so we're really from North Carolina to Key West for the South Atlantic. There's a mid-Atlantic that's above there,
right,
and then there's a Gulf.
Right.
So this area is, we're trying to get anglers in the coastal counties in the region to report their recreational catches. And we heard from anglers that they wanted to have a voice, and right. this is a way for them to be able to do that. So they can help us improve data to yes. manage the fisheries. And I think they started out in 2017 with the red snapper season, the short season.
Okay.
And one of the great things that happened during that was they were heard because there were really bad poor weather conditions that year. And the anglers that report it, because you can go in there and create your trip, and then you can say, you know what, we didn't get to go due to bad weather, that kind of thing. So based on their reports of poor weather conditions, that helped make the decision to reopen that fishery for an additional weekend.
Gotcha.
So that information is really valuable.
Oh, yeah.
No catch or releases or so all of that kind of data. And we're not going to stalk you and find your spot. We promise your information is kept confidential.
Well, I was gonna interrupt you and say something about that. I figured you'd get to it because all the fishermen are going like, I'm not giving out my spots to somebody else.
right. We will keep your data confidential.
Okay.
And it just really helps the fisheries managers make those decisions to protect the resource and to make it good for everybody.
Sure. It's a free app?
It's a free app. You can get it on your iPhone or on an Android.
Okay.
And safmc.net is the webpage for the council, but you can go to myfishcount.com and get information on it as well.
Okay, yeah, because I got SAFMC, but if I go to myfishcount.com,
that one's probably easier.
Yeah, there's my fish count.
There are webinars. Right there. Yeah, there's webinars on how to use it. It's pretty... Okay. Easy to use when you log on, and it'll tell you, you don't have to put in all the fields. You know, we're going to appreciate whatever information you want to share with us.
Okay.
So there are fields that are required, but there are many fields that you don't have to fill out. One of the things that's kind of confusing, and I do a lot of bank fishing.
Okay.
And yes, we really want, I know a lot of your listeners go offshore.
Sure.
And come down to the coast and maybe fish from a dock of wherever they're staying and then go offshore a couple of times. But I fish a lot from a dock, so it asks for a vessel number. And you can write dock or you can put bank or whatever. So it is a required field, but you can just put something in there if you don't go out on a vessel.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And the whole goal of this is it's like with anything. It's like with turkey management or deer management, fish management. It runs off data.
Correct.
The amount of data they have determines how accurate their management is. And without that data, and this is where it's important for hunters and fishermen to give the data. When it's asked, when you get a survey in the mail, when you have an opportunity to do something like this, it's important for the longevity of what we enjoy doing that we give good data back to those in charge of managing the natural resource.
Right, exactly. And you can... you can, like I said, you can see some of the things. There's an option to include a photo in there.
Okay.
So even if you don't have a fish ruler, call me, I can send you one. But if you don't have one like on your cooler or something like that to take a photo, you can put in a quarter and we can figure out how big it is. I mean, just some sort of reference for a photo would be great.
Okay.
And because a lot of times people are releasing things. So, and we want that data too. But yeah, so... We're getting data that's required from commercial trips and from charters and things.
Okay.
So this is why it's so important for us to get recreational data, because I don't know how many people have ever been intercepted and questioned to get the data on the national level. But there are not a lot of people. There's not enough people to gather the information. So if we as recreational anglers can all pitch in, it will be so much more beneficial for the fishery.
Yeah, that made me start thinking in all the years I've fished, which is, you know, since I was 5 years old or so, one time, and it was a gentleman in Charleston. We were at Ripley Light, and we just come in from a dolphin trip, and he didn't even work for Department of Natural Resources. I think he was doing this on his own, and the dolphin study. He was doing the dolphin study, and that's the only time I've ever had anybody ask me about my fishing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I've only been stopped by a DNR officer once in my whole life.
Mm. Well, I didn't say I hadn't been stopped by a DNR officer.
Well, and, so I'm gonna mention one other thing through this website.
Okay.
One of the things that's mentioned is best fishing practices. So through the website and the partnerships with Angler Action Foundation and South Carolina Wildlife Federation, they're offering this a sequelizer. Are you familiar with one of those?
No, I'm not, but I'm looking at it right now. Best fishing practices.
So you can watch this seminar or attend one of the seminars that they're doing.
Okay.
And when you pull up a fish from very deep.
Yes.
Sometimes you might see the belly inflate or mm-hmm. sometimes actually come out of their mouth.
Right.
So there's a way, there's a tool for you to use to release that fish back down to the depth yep. from where it came. So it's kind of the clip is kind of like a Boga grip. So okay. it'll hold on to the lip.
Right.
And you can basically push the button and it takes the fish back down so that it can survive.
Gotcha.
Some people in the past have vented fish.
Yeah.
And that's still a way to help the fish get back to releasing the air bladder out of. But it's much less invasive to use one of these tools, this okay. equalizer, and less chance for infection and things like that. So
very good.
But, yeah, check it all out.
Well, I guess we will see you at ICAST here in a month or so.
We will. I'll be there. I'll be there at the SAFMC
okay.
booth, and I'll be doing a seminar on Wednesday morning.
Very cool. BB, thanks for joining us on the show, taking time out of your Saturday to be here. And like I said, angling women, folks. Let's see, angling women, Old Bridge Outfitters.
I have a lot of hats.
And my fish count. And that's not including the personal hats.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
If you have questions on any of those things,
yes.
feel free to message me any of those ways.
Okay.
I'll all answer right. anything.
You'll answer anything. BB, thanks much. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all have a great day.
We'll do it.
Bye.
Bye. So, yeah, it is important in wildlife management. You know, if you get a turkey survey, if you get a whitetail survey, if you have an opportunity to participate in a survey, you know, one of these very focused surveys or to do something like this, important on our, it's almost as important as actual hunting or fishing that you give good data back to those that are in charge of the natural resources. Because without the data that we give them, they got to rely on the limited resources they've got at their disposal. And like I said, it's in our own best interest to give good data so we can have good regulations and management practices.
Yep.
Would you not agree?
No, I fully agree.
Fully agree.
I do.
Wow. Mark that one down, folks. She fully agrees with me on something.
Fully agree.
Fully agree.
Fully.
Okay. Well, I've got to get to, we don't have time for all the things behind the calendar events, but I do have to get to one because Ryan and Heather Grove from Spartanburg sent me this. They are the Spartanburg chapter of National Wild Turkey Federation. They asked me if I had time to squeeze an announcement on one of your upcoming radio talk shows about the upcoming local NWTF events. The Spartanburg chapter is hosting the South Carolina State Calling Contest on June 15th at the National Wild Turkey Federation headquarters in Edgefield, South Carolina. Let's see. Along with the contest will be lunch, silent auction, and gun raffle. Also, our chapter will have our annual National Wild Turkey Federation banquet on August the 2nd at the Lodge in Inman. And, of course, you can get more information about NWTF events at nwtf.org, or you can contact Ryan in those, or the Spartanburg chapter on Facebook. And it's Saturday, June the 15th. I need to get glasses. 10 a.m. They're going to have some registration in the different classes. Quit laughing over there. I'm vain. I know. I should know better. And it was really cool. It was a couple of weeks ago. I got to go down to the Savannah River site and fish Elk Lake this time. There are two lakes on Savannah River site, the nuclear station. They're fished once a year. And this past tournament was the NWTF Roland Sportsman Extreme Fishing Challenge on Elk Lake. We had 25 mobility impaired hunters. Not all of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them have prosthetics. A lot of them are veterans. And I took Brandon Cobb down. He was my media boat driver, which was a real change. I wasn't chasing him around the lake. He was driving me around the lake so I could take pictures of all these people catch fish. But Brandon and I, we get to fish for a few hours on Friday, and then Saturday is the actual tournament. I believe 15.85 pounds for two fish, one this time. We were unofficially not in the tournament itself because, you know, as an elite pro, you know. But we had 15.1. He had a 9.15 pound largemouth on a topwater walking bait. Incredible fish to catch on topwater. And you'd think after Lake Fork, he would be just all over Texas lakes. And when we talked to Davey today, said Brandon called him on the way home to tell him somebody that would believe what he was saying about the fishing down there.
That is one thing I want to do. I want to be around Brandon Cobb when he goes down there and just watch him like be like a kid in a candy store.
He was giggling nonstop. And we had a good time. But yeah, congrats to all those guys that got to go down there and participate in that. They'd hold one every year for Rolling Sportsmen and then one for First Responders. If you're interested, get a hold of the National Wild Turkey Federation or me. Until then, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. More Woods and Water South Carolina back next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Thanks for listening.